Blog Radio.
We interrupt this broadcast to bring you this important bulletin from the United Press. Flash.
What happened here was a PSYOPs campaign, an incredible government propaganda campaign.
This aggression will not stand, man.
And is the essence of this that what they did was what the Pentagon did was illegal?
Yeah, what they did was illegal.
In our country, you're supposed to be innocent until proven guilty in a court of law.
They're gonna put you all back in chains.
If somebody wants to build a coal-fired plant, they can. It's just that it will bankrupt them because they're going to be charged a huge sum for all that greenhouse gas that's being emitted.
I experimented with marijuana and found the food, and I didn't like it. And didn't inhale.
Just very disturbing that they would, you know, even consider using our military to try to adjust it. Just
to
find invasion
of
another country.
I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore!
What if we were living in an age of the Tocqueville's grim warning that a republic will crumble when the government learns to bribe the people with their own money?
I am the wellspring from which you flow.
I know the human being and fish can coexist peacefully.
And now, broadcasting live on NWO Truth Radio and Truth Emerges Radio, it's the Friday Night Super Show. And here are your hosts, Dennis Ford and Lee the Mouth Pierce.
Oh yeah, that's right, folks. It's Friday night, and you know right where you are, the Friday Night Super Show. I am the Mouth laughing and scratching at you, joined by my tag team partner every week, Mr. Friday Night himself, Dennis Ford. How you doing tonight, brother?
You know it. Friday night, I wouldn't be anywhere else but right here on NWO Truth Radio and Truth Emerges, mind you, for the Friday Night Super Show.
The Coalition.
So, yeah, man, happy to be here. Big show tonight. We do have a caller that called in. Not really sure if that's our guest tonight, but we do have Ted Jotti in the wings, too. So we're going to be joined by Ted and hopefully our guest tonight, James Perloff, author. You know, I guess you'd call him an activist to a certain extent, but great author, man. I was blown away by reading this book for the last couple of weeks since I got it. So it'd be very interesting to interview him tonight. And hopefully that's him with us. So if we have a minute here, I'm going to jump back and find out who this is before we go any further.
Yeah, go right ahead. You know, James Perloff, if you don't know, ladies and gentlemen, is a contributing editor to the New American Magazine for nearly three decades. He's also an author of the book The Shadows of Power, with over 100,000 copies sold, as well as best-selling creationist books, Tornado in a Junkyard and The Case Against Darwin. And he's been a guest on well over 100 different radio and TV shows, and hopefully he'll be here joining us tonight.
Yes, sir. Yeah, so like I said, it'll take me a minute or so to find out if that's him, and we'll get him in here tonight. But I think it's him. Like I said, he knew everything was going down tonight. And we went back and forth through emails. He doesn't do Facebook much, which I understand. I don't blame him. It's a little bit more difficult to get in touch with people if they're not directly on Facebook. But we made it happen, and like I said, he had it scheduled in. So I think he's probably joining us here in the call log. So it'll take me a minute. If you want, Lee, I'll bring in Ted, and we'll talk to Ted for a little bit, if you don't mind.
Sounds good to me.
If you want to. And while you guys are chattering, I'll go ahead and check out who we got here.
Sounds great, brother.
Hey, Ted, welcome to the show, my brother, again. 2 weeks in a row.
Hello, Dennis. Hello, Lee.
How are you doing?
I'm doing excellent.
How you doing there, Ted?
Hello, Mr. Lee. I'm going to make it. Sun came up this morning, and it actually went down tonight, so looks like we got another day behind us. I understand you got one hell of a guest on tonight. Mr. Perloff,
sure.
We had him on.
Yeah, go ahead, buddy.
We had him on Breaking the Oath Breakers two months ago, and I have not read a better book than the book he wrote about this unbelievable government that we have in this United States of America. It's just, there is none better. Truth is a Lonely Warrior. I've only read one of his books. He has two other books, The Shadows of Power. Actually, several other books. Tornado in a Junkyard, and then he has a book called The Case Against Darwin. And I'll tell you what, this man's very capable of challenging Darwin. Once you read this guy, you'll want to read everything he's got. I mean, he nails it, and he references his stuff. It can't be disputed. It just simply cannot be disputed.
The information packed in this book is just outstanding. And if it, like he said several times, if you're fortunate enough to get it even on the Kindle, I actually got, you know, one of those knock on, you know, wood here copies, an actual book, which I have really not read a lot of books in a very, very long time. You know, I really do a lot of my reading online and everything nowadays. But to get this one, he actually sent me and Dennis a nice autographed copy, which I'm very thankful for. And with my limited time, once I get into it, the entire rest of the world disappears, and I continue to read, and then I look up these links and these reference points where he's sending me to, because that's how I read anymore. There's a link to back it up. Let me check it out. And so I'm about to chapter 7, and it's absolutely blowing my mind. I cannot wait to get through the rest of this book as soon as I get some free time, whenever that is. And I'm taking time donations, by the way. So if anybody's got the time to send me, it'd be great.
Real quickly, we do have James, too. That was him that I screened. So we're going to get him in here in a few minutes. I don't know how much time he's going to be able to hang with us tonight, but it should be very interesting to talk to James tonight. But also, man, I'm like yourself. I'm on chapter 6 or 7, I believe. But ever since I started reading it a couple weeks ago, very intrigued with it. It's hard to put down. It's one of those books where you get into it and you want to keep reading and you realize you have to go to work or do something. So it's hard to put down, and I really enjoy reading it. Like you said, all the facts are backed up. Everything's in there. It covers a lot of stuff, a lot of things that people, you know, if you're interested in researching any of these things, I recommend you check out this book and go ahead and get it however you can, and check it out. And definitely do the cross-referencing and check out the facts on your own, like Lee was talking about, and you'll find out it's all backed up. It's all there in the book. And it's very well written as well. It's very well, you know, it's very easy to follow along with the way he wrote the book. Very, very talented author. I have to say so myself. I'm glad Ted, I came across him on your show, man. I'm very grateful that if not for Ted, I wouldn't even have found James's work. So I'm very grateful that I listened to that show that night to actually get an opportunity. I actually talked to him on that show, matter of fact. But, yeah.
Well, this entire shadow government is one big jigsaw puzzle, and states in on his website, one of his descriptions about truth as a lonely warrior, that understanding the jigsaw pieces requires having the whole puzzle to look at. And boy, I'll tell you what, he puts it together in this book. Puts it together in a way that I've never been able to. I knew a lot of what he wrote about, but I was not able to put it together like he did. And like I said, the references.
Ted, obviously James has been doing a lot of his own research over the years, and there's actually a chapter in this book, you know, Truth is a Lonely Warrior. There's a whole chapter, I believe it's chapter 13, about Zionism, and I'm very interested to get to, because you know how people feel about Zionism. So I'm very interested in what he has to say about that. But if you guys, you know, like if you're ready, we can go ahead and bring him in and get him in the show tonight and throw some questions at him and see what he's been up to.
Oh, yeah, brother. Bring him on in.
Because I do not know how long he's going to be with us. Hopefully he can hang out with us the whole show. That would be awesome. In the second hour, we'll go ahead and take some more callers if anybody calls in. If you have any questions for James or how to get in touch with him or get his books or any of that good stuff, you're more than welcome to call in. I'm sure we'll go over it ourselves. But, yeah, let's get him in here tonight. James, welcome to the show, my brother. How are you?
Hi, thank you very much. What a pleasure to have the whole forum here. And, I'll be on for the whole show.
Oh, that's outstanding.
Awesome. Thank you for
that, sir. A pleasure to speak with you here, Mr. Perloff. This just an outstanding book that you've got here. I've, mentioned earlier, I don't read a lot of books, handheld books anymore, and I truly appreciate the copy that you sent me. I'm all over it. It's just great.
Well, thanks.
Yeah, also, man, thank you. Thank you, too, James, for sending it to us. I had no idea. When you asked me in the email if we would like a copy, I had no idea how that would go. And next day I checked my mail, and it was in there. It was like the next 2 days you had sent it out. So I want to thank you myself, man. That's really cool. I'm glad you did that and autographed it for us and everything. You know, that's really important, man.
You guys are helping me get this message out, and our message is probably pretty synonymous. And so thank you.
Right on. Yeah, starting off here, James, I know you've been on multiple shows. You know, it says on your book you've been over, I guess, 100, more than 100 shows. Or, you know, you've been around. You've been doing radio for a while and even television shows. And I'm pretty sure you're familiar with the interview, you know, how the interview thing goes. People throw questions at you about your books and things and all that good stuff. But also I watched the interview that you had on your .com. Well, you were talking about this book, and I wish I could play that on the show tonight. You know, it was kind of long for me to throw into the show tonight. I was thinking maybe over time we could play that little interview. But I listened to that the other day, and the same day I was checking out your website, I listened to it too. But I like the way you broke it down in there and kind of explained things. It's just like the book. It's very easy to obtain what you're trying to, you know, put across in the book. But either way, one of the questions I wanted to ask you about it was you know, how long have you really been doing this? I mean, what made you, how long you've been doing it, and also, you know, what made you want to get into writing books about this genre of information? Because, you know, there's a lot of people that write books about this stuff, and I've never really came across anybody that did it the way you do it. So I was just interested how long you've been in it and what got you inspired.
Well, my first official writing was for The New American in 1985, and they eventually asked me to write a cover story on the Council on Foreign Relations, which is the chief shadow government behind the executives of the United States. And the article turned out to be so long, they said, why don't we make this into a book? But I'd been researching it since 78. 1978, I saw a girl reading a copy of a book by Gary Allen called None Dare Call a Conspiracy. And it's one of those things that happens to me once every 10 years. It was just something that impelled me that I had to go find that book. And so I went to a bookstore, found it, and it was the first book that really made sense of history for me. And that's when I started learning about the Federal Reserve and the Council on Foreign Relations and how things really work behind the mirage that the mass media, the mainstream media, puts up. And so I started researching it myself and got it gifted me with some writing skill, and so I was hired by the magazine, and it just made sense to they felt it would make the article would make a good book, and it carried forward from there. And for a while I went into the creation evolution debate, because I'd been an atheist early in my life, and after I finally came to a religious faith, I suddenly discovered that I'd been lied to about Darwin's theory, and a lot of people have been taken down that road with me, been deceived into thinking that the world came about by chance processes, when in point of fact, a single cell is so well designed that it would be absolutely mathematically absurd, the proposition that it could come about by chance, but that's what they teach in public schools. But it was really, I think it was after 9/11 that I really sensed the urgency that I needed to return to the political and historical venue that started with this book called The Shadows of Power. That was the name of the book about the Council on Foreign Relations, and started to really, with the advent of the Internet, started to discover a lot of books and resources that in my old research, you know, for this original book, published in 1988, The Shadows of Power, all we had was libraries and card catalogs, with no Internet to speak of. And so you had to use those old-fashioned methods, but now it wasn't like today. Now you can instantaneously, as you guys know, and you were just talking about before I came on, how we do our research, now you can instantaneously get information, and that's helped me so much to supplement the studies that I did earlier on the Shadows of Power and come up with this new book, which is much more up-to-date.
Yeah, the book, I'm digging it, man. I'm really enjoying the book. But also, the book you were talking about in that, when you were talking right there, None Dare Call It a Conspiracy, I believe there's two authors that wrote that. They came together and wrote it. Maybe there was one main author and another guy, but there's a friend that I just contacted on Facebook, and I believe his father was one of the guys that wrote that book. So I'm trying to get him on, too.
Huh.
Been talking to him for a while.
Gary Allen and Larry Abraham wrote that book.
Yeah, his son is actually on Facebook, and I don't know if it's his blood relative son or whatever, but I'm just now getting to meet him. And trying to get him on a show because he's interested in doing interviews and stuff too. So that'll be cool. But also,
that's fantastic. Do you know which one it was? Do you know which author's son it was? Was it Abraham or Alan? Do you know?
I'm not really sure. I have to go back. I'll send you an email about when I get all the information. But also, I was looking at this book when I started reading it, and I was reading the introduction here, and I was kind of fascinated by what you were going to call the book. You know what the title of the book was going to be. How Satan rules in the world, and that's, you know, that's pretty, I don't know, I might have went with that title, but I can understand why you backed off of that a little bit, because it would be kind of, people would see that title and they'd be like, well, I don't know, and I don't know if I can read that, but that's what it is, and a lot of these shadow governments and people that meet at the Grove or whatever it may be, I mean, just in my years in research, it's not really hard to find out who they praise and who they bow down to, and, you know, if you want to, if there's an evil entity out there, that's who they worship, and they're not really hiding it. They never really hid it throughout history, but now they're becoming more blatant with it. And I don't know how familiar you are with the music industry and all the things that we see going on in the music industry with the entertainment, the entertainers. They use these symbols and different things in their music videos and stuff like that. So that's something I've been researching for a few years, mainly because I see the corruption. That the music and the entertainment industry can actually, it can actually brainwash people into thinking that that's okay, you know, that lifestyle. So it's very powerful. So I was just interested if you knew any, you know, if you've been watching the entertainment industry, not necessarily more recently, but even in the past, you know, with Ozzy and a lot of people that were, you know, open Satanists when they were doing their music, which we have a lot of now in the hip-hop industry and et cetera and pop stars and everything. So, you know, I was just interested if you've ever dabbled into entertainment and music
I've certainly looked at some stuff on YouTube that's kind of given some summary picture of the satanic symbolism and this stuff, like the Super Bowl halftime shows, Madonna dressing up as Baphomet and things like that. I know that no question that Hollywood, for the most part, has been a brainwashing industry. And, you know, I was telling one of my age peers, I said, you know, I like to watch Turner Classic Movies because, you know, the movies were more moral in the older days. And he said, yeah, Jim, but even back then they were pushing the envelope. And he was right. You know, Hollywood has always been a step to the left of the general public and always nudging them, you know, boiling the frog and bringing them over closer till it's gotten to the point where it is today, where it's openly satanic. They wouldn't have dared do that, you know, 50 years ago because the culture was too conventional, too Christian, too traditional, too religious, too moral to have that kind of stuff going on. So they had to boil the frog and just gradually insert that stuff in. And I could see it myself, though, in the 1960s, how the TV was changing from the 1950s and how the values were declining. I mean, it was progressively more politicized and more politically correct, and now you've got it to where it is. Now, same thing with music, too, you know, and the whole idea of being wholesome is scoffed at, and yeah, there's all kinds of, now they're getting really blatant with it, but it's all, you're right, it's a part of brainwashing. The media, public education, music industry, Hollywood, it's controlled by the same financial interest, and they're not going to tolerate much that steps outside those goals and that agenda.
Yeah, good way of putting it. That's it right there. I think a lot of people, when they see it, they see entertainment and they see celebrities or people doing these things, they just write it off as, you know, hey, that person is just, you know, being free or, you know, living their life or they're hustling to make money or they're trying to be successful. But at the same time, there's a lot of guidelines and a lot of things that go on in Hollywood and the entertainment industry that, you know, you might want to look into before you pursue that career, because a lot, there's some things that you might come across and you may end up doing, pursuing being famous or being an actor or whatever, that you may not want to do. But if you want to be in the position that a lot of these people are, you're going to be asked to do it. And people don't really realize that. They just, that's just something that's, you know, pushed under the rug. And at the same time, Hollywood is glorified as this beautiful, illustrious, you know, this beautiful place. And we see all these tragedies that come out of Hollywood where these actors commit suicide more recently, and a lot of other tragedies that go on in Hollywood, because it's just a bad place. It's just a, that place will chew you up and spit you out. And a lot of people don't know that. They just see it for the grandeur and the fame and the fortune, but it's a lot deeper than that. And in my opinion, I don't think that they're hiding who they praise, because you don't see a lot of I hate to throw this out there, but you don't see a lot of Christian things come out of Hollywood where people, you know, are praising God and actually talking about, you know, the moral code that a lot of people have in society. It's always, like you were saying, to corrupt that and bring, I always call it the dark side. They always want you to come to the dark side, and then once they get you, then they can manipulate you, and they can transform your way of thinking and make you think that a lot of these things are acceptable when they're not. You know, being a liar, you know, selling drugs and all these things are not acceptable, but people see it as acceptable because that's what their role models and their false idols in Hollywood put out to them. So it is brainwashing society, and it's been doing that for a long time. You know, hip-hop and music industry in Hollywood is just a small piece of the puzzle when you're looking at the grand scheme of things, of what we all talk about on these shows, and of course what you talk about in your book. Like you're saying, it's a big group of businesses and corporate owners that control all this stuff, along with the media, et cetera, et cetera. So Hollywood is just one small thing, but they're all operated by the same, you know, string pullers, if you will.
That's right, and you're talking about the compromises that Hollywood people make. I think it's got an analogy in politics. They won't let anybody get to the top of the political spectrum either without making all kinds of compromises too. And what we see with the politicians and the speech making, which are pre-written for them and read off of teleprompters, it's all artificial too. We don't see what goes on behind the scenes, so it's left to us to often do. To determine that, but we can pretty much tell what they're planning by their actions.
Yeah, good point. And also, I mean, in your book, you cover The Grove. I mean, you cover a lot of things that I've seen people cover in other books, but you cover a little bit, you approach it in a little bit different aspect of, you know, we all kind of all are outsiders looking in, and we all have to kind of put the piece together ourselves. But in the book, man, it's you know, you put it together very well. Even with some, you know, some Bible tie-ins that people don't really ever associate with what's really going on with politicians and things of this nature. But, you know, when you think about it, these elite people, you know, they go to the Grove are not, you know, they're not your run-of-the-mill ordinary people. These are the business, the bigwigs. These are the people that sign the people's checks that we consider rich, you know, that we would look at and say, oh, well, that guy's wealthy or rich. These are the people that actually sign their checks. And there are politicians there, which is fascinating because – if you look at Bush when he was running against Kerry, they were both Skull and Bones members, but mm-hmm. they didn't tell you about that. You know, I remember an interview was asking him. He asked both of them. I don't know if it was the same interview, but they were both asked about the Skull and Bones, and they both said, "Oh, well, that's a secret. You know, we can't talk about that," because they know what'll happen
right.
if they talk about it. But I like how you put it in the book because, again, we're all looking at the Grove, like what's really going on there. You know, what's really happening inside that place, but.
Not
from what we can gather, I can tell you it's not good. It's not good.
No, there shouldn't be any room for secret societies, or if you're going to elect somebody president to belong to an organization that he can't talk about. And it shows you that the loyalty to these organizations is greater than their loyalty to their country. And you know that even goes back. You could go back to the Revolutionary War, and it's interesting that there was a British general named Howe. He was a high-ranking Freemason. And all during the war, he was carrying on a secret correspondence with Benjamin Franklin and George Washington, who were also high-ranking Freemasons. And
right.
he was finally relieved because he was He should have wiped out Washington Valley Forge. He kept letting Washington get away with it, you know. And it was pretty clear. His descendants even had to burn his correspondence. He might have been considered a traitor. But so these guys actually consider their loyalty to these international brotherhoods is certainly greater than the loyalty to their country or the Constitution. That's also why you'll see a high-ranking judge, a Supreme Court justice, who will blatantly violate the U.S. Constitution. And people say, well, why did he do that? Is the guy just some legal dum-dum, doesn't know how to read the Constitution? No, it's because his oath of loyalty to the Freemasons or the Skull and Bones or the society that got him into his lofty position is greater than his oath of loyalty to his country. It exceeds it. And so that's why these guys do things that don't make sense to the public quite often, is because they're under control. It's always very dangerous to take an oath of absolute loyalty to an organization, but that's what a lot of these people do in order to get where they get the profitable lifestyle that they are able to lead.
See, I like how you put that, because you know they do have to take an oath. And when I tell people, when I talk to people on shows or I interact with people in my everyday life, I try to explain that to people. You know, there's a reason why there's certain people in certain positions, and it's not because, you know, they're good at their job, or when it comes to Hollywood, they may be talented. It's about the oath. It's about how much of that stuff you're willing to roll around in, how much dirt you're willing to roll around in with these people. And if you're part of the brotherhood, whatever that may be, they'll accept you and they'll take care of you. And you'll find that throughout a lot of history, is that they care for their own. And when you ever do speak out against it, God forbid, if you ever do take the oath and then try to go against it or speak out against it, they will kill you, and they will replace you with somebody else. And it's part of the oath. And the Freemasons are a big part of it, because in every major city, there's a Freemasonry branch, and people don't ever understand that the Freemasons are the ones that are controlling a lot of what's going on. And people, oh, they do a lot of charity. You know, they run, what's that hospital, the Shriners Hospital. Oh, that's a non, you know, they don't charge anybody. You know, they take care of kids and blah. That's one thing. That's one side of it. There's a whole other side of it, and they're controlling a lot of things. And it's not just Freemasons. It's these other secret societies, not to mention that we know about. I'm sure there's a bunch that we don't know about, that we don't even know the name of, operating. It's very fascinating.
That's a good insight, yeah.
Yeah, you're very correct. It is about the oath. Even when it comes to the president, you're not going to become president. You know, I brought this up in a show last week where we were talking about, you know, when you're in school, when you're a kid, they're like, hey, little Johnny, you know, you can be president one day. All you have to do is play, you know, just play your cards right. You'll be president. Well, they left out a big paragraph of things that you have to do to even be in that category, to be, hey, this guy could be president one day. You know, there's a lot, along with the secret societies, there's a lot of other things that they don't tell people. And I think that's another, you know, that's just one of those lies, man, that they tell us. Like, you can be president one day. No, I can't. Especially when I researched and I found out, you know, a lot of these presidents are possibly related or cousins, or there could be a bloodline going on, which is suspect, to say the least. You know, how many famous people are in your family tree, you know, or mine? I don't really have 8 or 9 presidents in my family tree, so that's kind of weird that these presidents have this going on, you know, on top of the secret societies and everything else, and the lying and the corruption and the taking orders. I mean, if you're good at taking orders, yeah, you might go far, and if you're good at lying and you're good at deceiving and stuff like that, yeah, you possibly could be president one day, but there is a lot that goes along with it. And they don't tell us that. You know, they just think, they put on TV like this big charade, like, oh, he was elected. Well, we all know our votes don't matter. Anybody on this phone line knows, or listening, knows that our votes really don't matter, because these presidents are not elected. They are selected, you know.
Well, you're so right, and it goes back way back in time. I've got a book published in 1937 by Ferdinand Lundberg. He'd been a writer for the Wall Street Journal, a lot of financial publications, and he details, it's a book called America's 60 Families, and he details how back in the 19th century, whether it was McKinley, whether it was a Democrat like Wilson or a Republican like Herbert Hoover, you're right, these guys were pre-selected, whether it was Wendell Willkie in 1940 or Jimmy Carter in 1976, before anybody got to cast a vote. They already picked these guys in for both parties, you know. And so the idea is to make people think they have a choice. You can vote for the Republican we picked or the Democrat we picked, but there's really no choice there. And now it's even worse because, Jitter, with the value of voting, it's become even now with the electronic vote counting, even the, whether or not your vote counts at all towards the guys they have picked is suspect.
Mm-hmm. Right on. And I think it's coming to a point where people realize that. And I bring this up all the time. People are like, oh, well, you know, when you vote for the lesser of two evils. So why the hell are you voting for evil at all? You know, and your votes don't even matter. And people really believe that. They really buy up. And, you know, when it's election season in a few years, we'll see it all again. People running out with their signs and, oh, mm-hmm. we need change and we need this and, you know, possibly Hillary or whoever it's going to be. Oh, they'll fix it. Mind you, Hillary is I'm pretty sure she's attending these Bilderberg meetings. And if she's not, she's one of their, you know, they want her. You know, there's already speculation about her running for president. And, you know, they're already got their eyes on her or whoever else is going to run against her. But that's going to be the next pitch. It's, oh, we need a female president. You know, we had a black one, which is not, he's not all the way black. He's half white. But either way, that's going to be the next pitch. Now we need another change. Maybe a woman can really, you know, change, turn things around.
That'll fix everything. You know? We just need a woman's touch, and that'll fix everything up, you know.
Yeah, that'll fix it.
There was a Dr. Joan Coleman from MI6 pointing out that one of the reasons why you see a lot more female news anchors is that they surveyed the public and find the public tends to trust women more than men, not to lie. And that might be a factor in that, you know, I think part of Obama was trying to make people think, well, we've got an Afro-American president, so therefore, you know, power really belongs to the people and not the establishment. But with Hillary, it might be that way, too, that giving people think, well, see, now a woman can be president. Anybody can be president. You don't need to be the best man. You can be the best woman. It doesn't matter what your race is. And just give the idea that power still belongs to the people.
Right. Yeah. We all know that's true. But, you know, if it was up to us or the people, I believe enough people came out. I mean, you could say what you want about Ron Paul. People don't really agree with a lot of what he does or whatever. But if it was really up to the people, Ron Paul would have been up a little bit higher in the last election. But, again, that's just I don't even know why they let him get on TV, to be honest. You know, the things he was saying and what he was talking about, I was like, why are they even letting him on television?
Especially with Federal Reserve.
America's not ready for something like that. They're not ready for somebody that could possibly become president that's talking about the Fed. You know, let's get rid of the Fed. Americans are like, what? What the hell? I don't even know what the Fed is. You know, most Americans, you know, I'd say about 75% don't even
know
what he was talking about.
They need to be ready for it. I mean, whether they're ready for it or not is kind of past the point of no return, don't you think? I mean, these people, yes. This Federal Reserve single-handedly brought this country, you know, to its knees, you know, with this fiat currency, and now with the walking away from the petrodollar over in Europe with Russia and China and Iran and India and Germany, all these countries are getting ready to just jump away from it. I mean, I'd like you guys' opinion. You guys really think that the United States dollar is going to withstand that? Because I don't.
Mm-mm. All I know, all I can really pinpoint is that the Fed has been operating for over 100 years now. It's going to be 101 here soon. And that's long enough, damn it. That's 100 years is enough of their shit, in my opinion. If we can get
absolutely,
them,
and they got away with it for so long without people knowing.
Yeah. I mean, come on, man. That's something that should have been done away with a long time ago. But, again, people are profiting from it, and it's basically a business where they can operate and keep people in debt and create this slavery thing going on. So why not? Let's keep it going. But I don't think we should have it. You know, I think it's the last thing we should have in this country. But, you know.
Oh, you're right. It's destroyed the economy. The fiat currency, they pour trillions of dollars into wars and multinational corporations. And in the meantime, that devalues the currency. And while the government understates the consumer price index, prices are soaring because the value of the dollar is going down because they create money from nothing. It's just that simple.
Mm-hmm. Right. It's numbers in the computer.
They're wiping us out.
That's,
wiping us out economically.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
One thing, this is Ted. Hi, James, how you doing? You remember me on Breaking the Oath Breakers?
Who, Ted Giotti? Who's that? I'm so glad you're on tonight, Ted. It just makes it like a better forum with with more viewpoints on. So yeah, I really enjoyed being on your show. That's how Dennis got in touch with me, and actually it was through Rachel L. McIntosh, the talented young novelist, that I found out about your show. She's getting on different shows with sharing contacts, and she mentioned your show, and I've shared some with her. And so, good to talk to you.
Thank you, sir. She's also a very good author, and I am duly impressed with your work. And your title, Truth is a Lonely Warrior, that alone prompted me to get into your book and find out who you are and what you're all about. And what you talk about truth, you know, in addition to everything that's going on in this country with the CFR and the shadow government, and that nails it. There is a governor of governments out there, and we, you know, those of us who know who it is, we're talking about the Council on Foreign Relations, the World Bank. They run the show, and there is a massive push across the world, and it's not progress. They call it progressive, but it's certainly not progress. But there is a massive push across the world with this ideology to put everyone into a safe haven from the truth. They don't want people to know the truth. They don't want people to figure out the truth. And the way that your book is compiled, like you said, in one of your articles on your website, you said that it's very difficult to discuss this with people, like 911. If you take an alternative view on 911 other than what the 911 commission in our government tells you, it's very difficult to take a position on this because you end up being a conspiracy theorist and a nut job, and people will just, you know, argue until they're blue in the face. Our government really wouldn't do that. But, you know, it's true. And when you get into discussions with people, you mentioned that you jump from one tangent to another and it becomes very disorganized and low in credibility. And that is so extremely true. And what your book has done is put this all in order, like the puzzle I spoke about earlier. But combined with all of this, behind the scenes out there working is this extremely powerful ideology that is just ruining people's minds. It's replacing critical thinking with critical theory. And I know where that all comes from. I have done a tremendous amount of research where all of this comes from. And you have this going on at the same time that, you know, the CFR is pulling the strings and the military-industrial complex is attempting to rule the world. And you have this ideology that's getting inside of people's heads all across America and all across the world and just convincing people that they are correct, and it is actually controlling people's thoughts at this point. They actually have people censoring themselves with this ideology, with this political correctness. And we're in a very dangerous situation in this country right now and other countries. When people start censoring their own thoughts, we've got big problems. We've got financial problems, but we also have big psychological problems in this country. And I just wanted to ask your opinion on that. Have you done much research into this progressive ideology, James?
Well, in the chapter on media, I've got a chapter called The Media and the Nature of Truth and Lies. And these guys understand the psychology of the human mind. And there's a thing called the big lie, where if you repeat a lie often enough, people will believe it. And I use some examples in there. There was a psychological experiment done some years ago at universities called the ASH tests, where a person would be asked to volunteer, or maybe they get a little money for it, take part in a test. And he would go into a room where other people were, and he would assume that there were just people like him, but he didn't know that all of them were secretly Confederates of the guy running the test. Then the guy at the head of the classroom would running the test would put up a picture, and he'd say, okay, which line is longest, line A or line B? And the guy could clearly see that line A was longest, but everybody else would raise their hand and say line B was longest. This was a conformity experiment, and quite a few people despite the fact they could see that long line A was longest, would change their mind and say line B was longest, it's because they figured, well, all those other people couldn't be wrong, you know. And they figured that out. That so how that plays out in the media is you see a story on AOL, and then the same story appears on CNN, and then Time Magazine's got it, and finally you decide, well, they must be. They couldn't all be wrong, you know. So you decide to accept that viewpoint. But what you don't realize is that AOL and Time Magazine and CNN are all owned by one corporation, Time Warner. Right? AOL was spun off recently, but that's the idea. They, by controlling all the media, no matter where you look, you see the same thing. And psychologically, think, well, they couldn't all be wrong. NBC and ABC and PBS and the New York Times, they must have it right. But the thing is, through this incredible trillion-dollar fiat currency scheme where they now control all the media through just a few corporations, it's easy to document, like News Corp. They own the Wall Street Journal and Hulu and HarperCollins and the London Times and Fox, and you know, it just goes on and on. You know, so they're able to get this uniform viewpoint, and people hear our viewpoint, and they say, well, what are you? You know, you're just one guy barking against these other 20. Why am I going to believe you over the 20? And that's where the big lie, that's where it becomes important for people to recognize that this is a psychological mechanism, ideology. I think that's close to what you're probably talking about, where they control people's thinking through repetition, or just massively bombarding us with the agenda that they want us to believe in.
Yeah, it's absolutely true, and it is an agenda, and it's a major agenda. And it's my opinion, and the opinion of many others. And I, like I said, I've done a lot of research on this, and this goes back. They have actually pulled out segments of multiple isms and have incorporated into this progressivism. And to see this take place, I mean, and they've even incorporated some Freud in there to get the finishing touches. But they're destroying self-reliance and responsibility in this country. I don't think there's any question about that. They're actually modifying culture with this. And the reason they're doing this is to control the people and keep the people in slavery and keep the people supporting what they are doing, supporting their empire, their ventures overseas, continued push for a socialist collective police state, and it's working to a degree. There is resistance out there, but it's working to a degree. And I have a strong hatred for ideologies because the end result is always death and destruction. And you know, the one and only governing document that's done the most to remove these subversive ideological premises from government is now being eroded instead of strengthened. They do not want a constitution in this country. They would be perfectly happy
anyway
if somebody just shredded it and threw it away. That's their goal. In my opinion, that is their goal, and it's the opinion of many others. The Constitution is their roadblock. And you nailed it earlier by saying the Supreme Court is, supporting some of this ridiculous legislation. We talked about on the show the other night, the Supreme Court is actually supporting policy. And that one just blows my mind. They're actually making rulings on political policy. And I stated the other night that there is no such thing as policy. Policy can only come from the Constitution of the United States of America. But all of these politicians, and more specifically the executive branch, always talks about their policy. And then their policy goes to the Supreme Court, and it's challenged, and it's found to be constitutional. Even though it's policy, it's found to be constitutional. And so you absolutely nailed it about what our Supreme Court is doing. They are taking the side of this regime that wants to modify culture in America and destroy our Constitution. So that's kind of my rant for the night. These guys know I just love progressive, James.
We've had a lot of Freemasons on the Supreme Court, like Hugo Black, William Douglas, Earl Warren, Thurgood Marshall, Potter Stewart. Like I said, I think that for some of those guys, probably, we don't know what goes on behind the scenes, but probably handed some document, some paper that says how they're devoted on a certain constitutional issue. And again, their oath of loyalty to the Brotherhood that gave them the lofty position of God is greater than their oath of loyalty to uphold the Constitution. So you're absolutely right. They will say that the latest policy, you know, whether it's, you know, spying on the people or whatever it is constitutional, because that's their loyalty is to defend this agenda and support the people who put them where they are. And so they're not, if they don't have integrity, and they've already seen to it that the guys who get these positions don't have sufficient integrity, they're going to uphold that agenda, just as you say, the progressive agenda or whatever name it's being given. But this agenda that's taken us down, so the Constitution means less and less when there are people who don't actually intend to respect it.
Well, that's been one of my biggest fears here as of late, is that has the Constitution been disrespected and ignored so much by the federal government in recent decades that the people just don't respect it anymore? Is that where our problem is?
Right. That's part of the whole media thing, is the whole mind control thing, is to teach people untruths, teach them that the Constitution is just a scrap of paper. It's a living document. You can change it whenever you want to. And these Supreme Court justices, they're the experts. What do you guys know anyway? And it's for the good welfare of the people anyway. And, you know, you can twist things so easily. And unfortunately, the guys at CNN and the New York Times have got the microphones and the circulation that we don't. But what we have on our truth is what we have on our side is the truth. And critical thinking, which they're exactly as Ted was saying, that's what they're hoping that people won't do, is critical analysis and thinking and figuring out what's going on.
Well, I think it's quite important at this moment in time in our history that if we don't start getting it together here real soon, you know, with the apparent oncoming collapse of the dollar and the militarization of police, everything out, it seems like the chessboard is being set. And we're about in check, you know, so to speak. And I really hope that a lot more people start to pick this up, which brings me to my next question. You know, with the anniversary of 9/11 coming up and the speculation going on there, a lot of people are waking up around here. Is it unreasonable to think that another false flag attack would not occur again, because they like to make everything so symbolic as on that date? I think, you know, with these Libyan jets missing and all this tie-in, the unrest all around, Syrians or the ISIS is supposedly in the country by now.
Mm-hmm.
Do you really think that this is going to be a possibility coming up here within the next week?
It's certainly a possibility. And also, this month is the 75th anniversary of the beginning of World War II, and this year is the August was the 100th anniversary of World War I. So there's a lot of anniversaries coming into play right now, and with 9/11, and it does seem kind of like they're building up to it with these beheadings staged or not, all the talk of ISIS, and you're right, the militarization of police, the trouble in the Ukraine. It really kind of looks like they're building up to something. We just can't predict exactly what it's going to be. But, yeah, that's very, very credible that they would want some new false flag that would justify further militarization of the police, increased security measures, strengthening of the Patriot Act, strengthening of Homeland Security, and so forth, you know, more encroachments on our freedom for the alleged purpose of defending us from terrorism.
I think you're right. I think that's what's going to be coming up. I think I'm quite worried about it because, you know, look what they did the last time. And how many people lost their lives when they went big on that. And I think that's what they're going to want to go. I'm afraid of what they're going to do next, whether it could be chemical, nuclear, or other things like that. I've been pushing for the last few months for everybody to be out there and start, you know, preparing for the worst. I'd rather that everybody went prepared for the worst and then nothing happened, and then everybody hated me forever and said, oh, you're wrong, and that's fine. You know, I'd just rather than nobody be prepared and nobody be ready, and then a lot of people lose their lives over it.
Yeah, it's very hard to make predictions with these things because we don't know their agenda. We only know the trend, and we can make estimates based on what they've done in the past. We don't know their exact timing. It seems like last year, one of their plans got foiled when they wanted to bomb Assad in Syria, and just nobody was going to go for it. People said, enough Middle Eastern wars. And I think that kind of made them go back to the drawing board. You had a feeling when the Boston Marathon occurred. It happened right after Rand Paul had made that long filibuster about the drones, and I think at that point they kind of looked and said, people are wise enough to the fact that their freedoms are being impinged upon. We got to go back to 9/11, go back to the making people think that the Muslims were out to get them with some false flags here, and then they'll go back to supporting our encroachments on freedom and increased security and, a national police force, a Gestapo, if you will. So that seems to be the formula, the workable formula on 9/11. So they're going back to that. So, we financed and trained ISIS, indirectly, if not directly. And it looks like the media's playing that up. It looks like with the Gaza crisis that they were trying to stimulate Muslims towards anger and doing things. And they're definitely looking to continue in the same direction. We know the direction they're headed. So what we want to do is to wake as many people up as we can by bringing people the truth and showing them the context and showing them that this is all part of a pattern and this is not just something that just happened.
Exactly. Do we lose our other hosts here?
Still here.
Okay. Everything went silent, so I didn't know. Guys, we're running up here near the top of the hour. If it's all right with you guys, we'll go ahead and knock our ads out of the way and get that taken care of and get back into our discussion. I'm sure everybody's got some more questions for James. We might even take a few calls here in the second hour. We'll be right back here on the Friday Night Super Show.
Hi friends, when it comes to reaching your audience, the best approach is in person. If you have a band, business, or charity event, you want to reach people in the best ways and venues possible. If you're touring in the Midwest, you need DMI Promotions. Their friendly staff is ready, willing, and able to assist you in venue locations and event promotions to make your show or event successful. Contact Tori Webb at 515-865-4463 or toriwebbdmi@gmail.com. DMI Promotions, your Midwest promotional team and proud sponsor of Truth Emerges Radio.
We're going to be going kind of out there for sure. Is our first family a first family of clones? And the number one influence on our government here in the United States is AIPAC, which is a group funded by Zionist Israelis.
Talks. Saturday nights, 6 p.m. Pacific, 8 p.m. Central, 9 p.m. Eastern Time. Only on Truth Emerges Radio Network.
While you're sleeping, I am your host, Brandon Council. All these quote-unquote truth shows, and please don't equate this show with any type of truth or show, because it's not, because we will tell you the real deal here on NWO Truth Radio. You know, the CIA was created in there in the Skull and Bones frat house at Harvard, which was dubbed the Tomb. You know, we can start with Abraham Lincoln and George Bush as being the two worst presidents ever as far as genocide on their own soil. Cops, these people are there to get you to contract with them in any way whatsoever in order to negate your natural thought process. If you're a person that stays at home all day, okay, and mm-hmm. you have, nothing to do, you're not working or nothing, you got kids, you're sending them to school, there's something seriously wrong with you. Analytical thought process allows people like myself and other people here at NWO Truth Radio to look at all the facts.
It's the perfect end to your week. While you are sleeping with Brandon Council. Friday nights, 9 p.m. Pacific, 11 p.m. Central, midnight Eastern Time. Only on NWO Truth Radio.
They're saying it.
You're listening to the Friday Night Super Show with the Mouth and Mr. Friday Night, Dennis Ford. June 2nd hour by calling 1-347-855-8301.
But I do have questions about what we're doing to the spirit of America, the spirit of the Constitution, in a desire to protect a symbol.
We are Americans.
A patriot cannot be created by legislation.
Sunday night, 6 p.m. Pacific, 8 p.m. Central, 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Only on Truth the Murders Radio Network.
And now, Last Voice for Liberty presents Celebrity Words of Wisdom.
Never profited from public service. I've earned every cent. And in all of my years of public life, I have never obstructed justice. And I think, too, that I could say that in my years of public life, that I welcome this kind of examination because people have got to know whether or not their president is a crook. Well, I'm not a crook.
Join us next time when Last Voice for Liberty presents Celebrity Words of Wisdom.
And welcome back, everyone, here to the Friday Night Super Show. I am the Mouth Laughing and Scratching back with my co-host, Dennis Ford. We are joined tonight by our other co-host, Ted Jotty from Breaking the Oath Breakers right here on NWO Truth Radio, and our special guest of the night, Mr. James Perloff, author of Truth is a Lonely Warrior. Ladies and gentlemen, get out there, get this book, check it out online in a paperback version. Either way, it's packed full of information, and we're glad to have you here. Dennis?
Yeah, sorry about that, man. Last 15 minutes or so there in the first hour, I had a few things going on. So I want to thank you guys for carrying the show. But I am back here in the second hour. So let's get Ted back in here. Welcome back, Ted. And get Mr. James Perloff back in the show. So, yeah, rocking the second hour here. You know, plenty more to go over, I'm sure.
That's right. We covered a lot. We covered a lot there in the first hour, and there's a lot more going on now. James, in your first book about the Council of Foreign Relations, and you touch on it here in the beginning chapters of Truth is a Lonely Warrior, their involvement and betting in the government and what's going on with it and how they pretty much not voted in but appointed anymore has been gone very deep. Could you elaborate a little bit on that for the listeners?
On the Council on Foreign Relations?
Yes, sir.
Well, the council is sort of the common denominator in policymaking between Republican and Democratic presidents. It came into being in 1921, and the reason it came into being was that the U.S. Senate had rejected the Versailles Treaty, which would have brought us into the League of Nations, the first attempt at a world government. And the American people were pretty upset with what had gone on in Versailles. They saw that countries were seizing territory for themselves, and they also discovered from congressional investigations that the banksters had been ripping off the American people during the First World War, and they decided they really didn't want anything to do with the League of Nations, which might infringe on our sovereignty. So the banksters, who were still in Paris at that time, where the Versailles Treaty had been signed, decided they were going to have to form a new organization in America to change the climate of opinion, and it also turned out to be the organization that would dominate presidential candidates. And so this is where you have the nexus between big business and government. You'll see these people who are heads of or deputy chiefs of places like the State Department, Defense Department. You see the companies, these big multinational corporations. How does that happen? Well, these executives will be invited to join the Council on Foreign Relations, and they will take a study group there and attend a couple dinners, and all of a sudden they're an expert, and they get invited to join the government. And I'll give you a quote from the New York Times, April 19th, 1985, quote, the title was Investment Bankers Appointed to Number 2 Post at State. It said, quote, John Whitehead has been named the next Deputy Secretary of State. It was announced today Mr. Whitehead retired last November as co-chairman of Goldman Sachs. Mr. Whitehead brings to the job no apparent expertise in international diplomacy, and describing his attributes for the job, Mr. Schultz, that was the Secretary of State back then, said that Mr. Whitehead was a member of the Council on Foreign Relations and was regularly invited to dinners given by Mr. Henry A. Kissinger, unquote, the New York Times. So the council, I have some enumerations on the back of my new book, and one of my jack-up blurbs from To the Lonely Warrior says, since its 1921 founding, what small organization has produced 21 secretaries of defense, 19 treasury secretaries, 18 secretaries of state, and 16 CIA directors, courts as a council on foreign relations. And they dominate those areas. They love to control the Defense Department because that's going to be in charge of the wars, and the Treasury Department because that runs the money, and the State Department because to have these wars you got to control foreign policy, and the CIA because they want to control the flow of intelligence. So you always see them clustered around there, but they dominate other departments as well. In fact, let me give you a rundown from the Obama administration. We have John Kerry, member of the Council on Foreign Relations, or CFR, at Secretary of State. We have Jacob Lew at Treasury, Chuck Hagel at Defense, Jay Johnson at Homeland Security, John Brennan at CIA is not a member, but the Deputy Director, Michael Morrell, is, and Penny Pritzker at Commerce, and Ernest Moniz on Energy, and so forth. Just goes on. Bill Clinton selected 12 CFR members for his cabinet, and it doesn't matter if it's a Republican or it's a Democrat. The cabinet members, by and large, especially in these key posts we're talking about, come from the Council on Foreign Relations. And since the Council has a uniform viewpoint, that is, which is to say whether the Republican or Democrat, they support the objectives of Wall Street and world government, that's why we don't get anything more than cosmetic changes when we switch from one party to another in the White House.
They've dominated for years, and I don't think too many people realize just how many people are controlled by the CFR. And I pulled up something just a while back on this, that the CFR members have consisted of 8 presidents of the United States, 7 vice presidents, 17 secretaries of state, 20 secretaries of defense, 18 secretaries of the treasury, and 15 directors of the CIA. What does that tell you?
And remember that this group only had, in the Kennedy era, they only had about 900 members, and now they've got over 4,000. But nonetheless, how can one tiny group like that possibly dominate? In fact, let me just grab something else. There were a whole bunch of changes this year at the Fed. Obama appointed Janet Yellen head of the Fed. She's from the CFR. He also appointed Stanley Fisher vice chairman. He's from the CFR. And he also appointed Lael Brainard and Jerome Powell as governors of the Federal Reserve Board. They're also for the CFR. So four out of four from the Council on Foreign Relations controlling policy at the Fed. So this idea that any little boy can grow up to be president or any of these positions is not true. You have to be in the right position. You have to do the people the right favors. You probably have to come from the right family, and then you might be one of these select. But this is absolute control. This is shadow government. In fact, I want to show you how far back this really goes. I mentioned that book published in 1937 called America's 60 Families. These guys are the reps of the 60 of the wealthy elite in America. I'm going to quote what Lundberg said in that book. Remember this, 1937, he said, quote, "The United States is owned and dominated by a hierarchy of its 60 richest families. They are the living center of the modern oligarchy which dominates the United States, functioning under a democratic form of government behind which a de facto government, absolutist and plutocratic, has taken form. This de facto government is actually the government of the United States, shadowy. It is the government of money and a dollar democracy," unquote. And that was 77 years ago, so you see how little things have changed.
That is truly amazing. Truly amazing. Yes. And, of course, our former Secretary Treasurer Tim Geithner was a veteran member of the Council on Foreign Relations, and as well as many others. And I think people need to start researching and just, you know, find out who these people are. And, you know, to this day, I mention CFR to people, and they don't know what the hell I'm talking about. And it just boggles my mind.
The CFR dominates the media, because if you go into the media, you find that your bigwigs in the media are also members of the Council on Foreign Relations as well. I mean, you take, to name a few, William Paley, the founder of CBS, and Dan Rather, and Rupert Murdoch, who owns Fox and News Corp, right, and Barbara Walters, and McNeil and Lehrer, the McNeil and Lehrer Report, Diane Sawyer, Katie Couric, Leslie Stahl, they're all, you know, they're not going to get to control public opinion unless they are part of the whole framework, the same framework, and that's why these guys don't get exposed. That's why it's only through alternative media like this show. Those guys are not going to expose themselves.
Well, no, they wouldn't.
No, they're such... What reason would they have to? They're enjoying their dominating empire. And
I'd like to make it their 15 minutes of fame. And it's gone on way too long. I mean, it's really, that's the big tie-in to me, is all these members of the CFO, the Council, or Council of Foreign, the CFR, excuse me, all getting into these positions of power. If that doesn't start somebody digging into something and starting to ask questions, I mean, I really don't understand what will. That's why I agree with Mr. Perloff. It's very important that these shows in the alternative media keep getting out there. Sometimes we feel like we're repeating ourselves over and over again, but we have to. I mean, more and more new people tune into the shows each and every week, and that's more and more ears and eyes that need to be opened and minds that need to be opened as well.
Well, you can keep repeating yourself. They repeat the big lie, so we keep repeating the truth. It's the big truth.
Yep. There you go.
Amen to that. Amen to that. And that's the only way to expose them. Play the same game, only play it on the different side of the fence. And, you know, I find it truly amazing that we have the finest governing document in the world, the finest document form of government that's ever existed. And I find it truly amazing that, you know, we're supposed to use this document. It has a process called amending, but we never use it. And, you know, you're talking about the CFR pre-selecting or pre-electing our presidential candidates and probably many more candidates, congressmen and senators as well. I'm quite certain some senators, but talking about that and the way the Constitution is supposed to work, and we don't use that Constitution, and it's being suppressed. The amending process is being suppressed. That's quite obvious. They want to do everything by legislation or executive ruling now. And you get into talking about what people vote for or what they're allowed to vote for. And I have a very strong feeling that the suppression is coming right straight down from the CFR. The right to vote, everybody has the right to vote. Vote on what? Okay, we're going to go out and we're going to vote for this guy or that guy or this gal or that gal. But what do we get to vote for when it comes to important issues in this country, like Iraq 3.0 that's coming at us? No, we vote on local referendums like a cigarette tax increase or a new community center or a new puppy lemon law. I talked about that last week on my show.
Oh, not the puppies again.
And
that's a big
one. People don't get to vote for this. When is the last time anybody out there voted to go to war in Iraq?
We didn't.
You know, I have to ask these questions. We didn't. We don't have a voice in anything anymore. We have a voice in what goes on maybe in our backyard, like I said, about the new community center or the old folks home they want to put up in our county. We don't have a voice on what goes on in government. We elect these people to represent us, but we have no voice. No voice. Our voice has been suppressed, and it's going to continue to be suppressed until we keep repeating this truth over and over. Just like you said, Mr. Perloff, just like you said, Mr. Peer, repeating this over and over and over and over, just like they do with the lies.
It's called counting.
Well, Ted, I do feel rather empowered now that I know that I can vote on the puppy lemon law. But you're absolutely right, and we should actually we haven't done this in America. Sometimes some important referendum things come up, but it'd be great if people were actually able in a truly fair vote counting system be able to vote on things like, do we want to join NAFTA? Do we want to go to war with Afghanistan? Things of this nature would truly represent empowering the people. But as it is, we just get that choice between the pre-selected presidential candidates who do what they're told and continue the same foreign policy and the same trade policy.
Yeah, and it's been the same for how many years now? Nothing has changed. You get an R in there, you get a D in there, it's the same old thing. They get up on their campaign soapbox and they tell you they're going to change it, and nothing ever changes. They go into office and all of a sudden the guy that said he's going to stop the wars and bring the troops home, well, now he's out there starting the wars and sending the troops over there. So who is pulling the strings, folks?
That's right.
If you can't see it by now, if you cannot see the shadow by now, you're probably never going to see it.
If you open your eyes and pay attention, for Pete's sakes, I mean, you know, it's right out there in plain sight. That's the horrible thing about it. I mean, you know, if it was, you know, say, well, let's put it in layman's terms, you know, so if it was like West Side Story and you had the Jets and the Sharks were always the ones that were getting put into power, wouldn't you start asking questions? I mean, wouldn't you start going, hey, how fair is all this? You know, what's really, am I really just, is it useless for me to go and vote for any of these people anymore? And I think that's where we've gone wrong, is we're voting for people instead of, you know, rules and laws. And we're not even getting a vote on these things or policy. We're just getting a vote on a person.
I've got a question for James. I'm sure people that have read your book and even those that haven't have called you a conspiracy theorist many times, James. And I just like to get your opinion on how you handle that when you're confronted with that type of an issue.
Well, I like to acknowledge to people that there is such a thing as wrong conspiracy theories and paranoia, and they can say the word paranoid. And so I like to give them some examples of real conspiracies. Like, for example, the assassination of President Lincoln was obviously a conspiracy. We know that Booth didn't – there's controversy about what happened with Booth, but we know that he made his getaway with a cohort, and we know that that same night there was a man named Lewis Powell who was attempted to assassinate the Secretary of State Seward. It was a, there were people involved. It was a conspiracy. There was real conspiracy. Now, there are times when there are people who think that they're out, others are out to get them when they're not. And so the question is, since there are, is real paranoia and there is real conspiracy, which is it? And what I tell people is what you really need to do is be like a good jury member. You know, a judge will tell a jury when it goes to render a verdict and consider its verdict, we decide this case not based on any prejudice, but decide it on the facts of the case alone. And so that's what I encourage people to do that I talk to is say, you know, don't just, we can't just have this knee-jerk, well, it must be a conspiracy theory, it's not true. You need to really look at the facts. And so, you know, when we see that the Federal Reserve was planned at Jekyll Island in secret by members of the Morgan and Rockefeller and Rothschild interest, and that was acknowledged by Frank Vanderbilt, president of Citibank, who was there. And then we see that the same people who were at that meeting were appointed to run the Fed. Paul Warburg, who ran the meeting, was appointed the first vice chairman, and Benjamin Strong was at Jekyll Island, one of the 9 or 10 bankers there, was appointed to run the New York Fed. Is that a coincidence? Are we paranoid to connect the dots and say that, hey, this must have happened on purpose, not by unfolding of chance? So we just I just judge it based on the facts, and I think that any juror would find in our open-minded juror would find in our favor.
Yeah, and it's called logic and critical thinking, and we need a heck of a lot more of that. Absolutely correct, and that's a brilliant way to handle it. I appreciate that input.
Yeah, that was dead on, exactly how we should all approach it. But real quick, I want to throw in when I deal with it, when I'm talking to people on social media or whatever, and they're like, "Oh, that's, you know, you're a conspiracy theorist." Why is it always when you're asking questions, that's the first label that people want to throw on you? You know, when you don't dare question the mighty establishment, what is wrong with you? Don't ever question anything these people do, because we know that's the gospel, and that's everything they say and the mainstream media says. Like James talked about earlier, they can't all be wrong, right? They all got to be right. So don't ever question any of that. And that's the first label somebody will throw at you. They'll say, tinfoil hat conspiracy theorist, or they'll just say, oh, you need your tinfoil. And that's always what I run across constantly. You know, it's really getting old that we keep hearing that, and people can't really go out and investigate these things on their own and be like, well, maybe there is something to this, or maybe there is real conspiracy theories that are not conspiracy theories but conspiracy facts, which we, you know, there's a multiple that we can run over on this show tonight where these people have been caught red-handed with their hand in the cookie jar. And people are like, oh, well, that's, you know, that's not what CNN told me, you know. So you're a conspiracy theorist. But I deal with it constantly, and it's just like a thing that people run to where they cling on to it. Yeah, it's just something they cling on to where, like I said, if you question anything, the entertainment industry is one thing, but when it comes to government and politics, if you question anything, any wrongdoing or any kind of backwood secret meetings or anything that may be going on that these people are involved in, which we all know is corruption and being bribed and bought off and everything else, if you ever question that, people are like, oh, well, that's conspiracy theory, because the government, we know that the government, I don't know, I guess a lot of people look at the government like it's their father, you know, that's their daddy. So whatever their daddy says is true, and he would never lie to them, but it's not true. I mean, they lie on a constant basis. Not to mention, we're coming up on 9/11 here in about a week, and people are going to relive all their memories of what they were doing on that day. We'll probably do a show about it where we talk about what we were doing, where we were at, what we experienced on 9/11. But you can look at the facts and the things that came out in that story, and already, you know, that's not a conspiracy theory, man. That event was allowed to happen, and it's just a shame that they had to do that so they could create this war on terror, where we are now with ISIS. This is the next boogeyman. There's going to be one after ISIS, too. I just want people to know that, you know. And our government keeps funding these terrorist groups throughout the world, but they're fighting a war on terror. You know, they're trying to eradicate it by giving them guns.
Well, it's the intangible enemy that they like to create these fictitious wars
that's
upon.
That's conspiracy,
you know?
Theory.
No, that's fact.
Yeah.
Look at the track record. Look at it. No, sorry, man. It's based on this these fictitious wars that they want to start, and none of them are really documented legal wars. You know, we haven't declared
war
in this country for how long now? Since World War II? And we've been in how many?
And we haven't won one in a long time either. Let's throw that out there. Also, when you talk about secret meetings in the Grove and things of this nature, this is where they're planning these wars. They're like, oh, well, we're making, you know, let's look at our numbers. Let's punch our numbers on this last war and what we're doing over here. And, yeah, let's keep it going. People are getting rich. We got corporate investors here. Let's make everybody happy. Let's make everybody leave the Grove with a smile on their face. And that's what they're doing. And not to mention, another conspiracy rumor is that the Manhattan Project was unleashed in the Grove. So that should give people a magnitude. They're not going there to dress up like women and do skits and plays and stuff. They're going there to plan the future politicians, the wars, et cetera, et cetera. Every corruption, everything you can think of when it comes to corruption is what's going on when they're meeting. Not to mention the other side of it. Like, we don't know if they're really sacrificing real people up there, which they possibly could be doing. Because we don't know. We can't get in there. We have no idea. We can't get a camera in there 1 year. I mean, you've seen the police force outside the Grove. You can't even throw a rock in there without getting beat down. So that needs to change. We need somebody besides Alex Jones that can actually get in there and find out what's going on at the Grove, maybe not infiltrate it like that, but actually just march in there and start filming and putting the information out to people. We need to do something because these people meet every year and ain't shit changing, and we can't do it. All we can do is protest and get angry and make signs, and that's not working anymore to me. The protests and things are great. It's a great way to meet people, bring people together, communicate on social media, and actually meet these people face-to-face, but at the end of the day, these protests aren't really doing much. It's just like, you know, I don't know. I guess in the long run, people look back and say, oh, well, you know, they were trying, but we got to figure out something else. We got to figure out a plan. But that right there, saying that on a radio show could possibly get me in trouble and labeled a terrorist for wanting to burn the Grove down, to want to get rid of the Grove. You know, they might want to check on me after saying something like that.
I think a major part of the plan is exactly what Mr. Perloff is doing in getting this information out there, published and in front of people. Truth is a Lonely Warrior is it's the finest compilation of truth, and the way that he puts it all together for people, very easy to understand, very easy to grasp the concept behind all of these things that a lot of people talk about, but really they're all linked together,
right.
The pieces, the puzzle. It's all linked together. And when you see it in the format that he's presented, it's very enlightening. And this is definitely a way to fight this. It's definitely a way to fight this. And I have the
information. Information and knowledge.
Yes, absolutely. And,
yeah, you're absolutely right, Tim. You know, us learning, because, again, when you go to grade school from kindergarten till 12th, they're not really telling you this stuff. You don't learn this stuff until you get out of school. And if you do learn it while you're still a young individual, you know, I know some kids that are 18 going on 19 years old that are learning what's really going on in the world. So that's great. But at the same time, you're not learning this in public schools. They're not telling you about – basically what you're getting is famous Freemason stories passed down, you know, outrageous lies about these magical people that could throw quarters across rivers and lightning bolts strike their – I don't even know where to go. I don't even know how this is sold to our youth. But, again, we're never told what's really going on behind you know, what's the shadow government, what's really controlling our government? Because, to be honest, we have a cartel in place. A shadow government is one name for it, but it's really a mafia-based cartel that it's very tight, and they do not really – I don't think they fear us. They really could care less if there's people in America that are learning about them. Cause this has been going on for a while. Like James was saying, though. Yeah, I understand that, but like James was saying, I mean
– I think they're very afraid of us.
I know that. I mean, there has to be some kind of fear there, but again, they – have a lot of power and influence, and they have they have people that will run out and do shit for them just because they told them, you know, taking my orders. I'm taking orders. So they're really not concerned. They have a front line from us to get to them, and they're willing to use it. But at the same time, like I said, the protest and the people getting together and really getting active, you know, becoming activists and really getting out there, and whether you do a radio show, whatever it may be, those are wonderful things. You know, that's a beautiful thing. But me doing this, for the few years I've been doing it, you know, it really becomes, you're like, what's really going to be the outcome of this? You know, are we really going to see a better future? Or are we going to continue next year when they go to the Grove, be documenting and reporting on that? Be like, oh, they're meeting at the Grove again this year. You know, who cares? No, let's talk about something else. Let's talk about football or something. You know, I don't want to keep doing that every year. I don't want to keep documenting these people committing fraud and corruption. Not only here in America, but throughout the world, because as everybody knows, I mean, the one world government is not a conspiracy theory. If it is, why do they keep talking about it in their speeches? They're like, oh, we need a new world order. We need a new world order. We want a new world order. But it's just conspiracy. It's not true. It's not really what they're building. But that's what they are building, and they've been building it for a while, so it's hard to take apart the pyramid or break it down, but that's essentially what's going on. They want control generated to one central point, and they want everything controlled by that. And they're already doing that with everything else. You know, they're controlling the media. There's five or six different news corporations that get on the television every day that are actually controlled by one thing. And they're already doing that. So they're already working on that, man. They're already working on building, controlling information. That's one side of it. Controlling the money. We all know they control that. Controlling religion, which is the Vatican and all that stuff that comes out of there. So, yeah, they're building a one-world religion, or one-world government, religion, money, everything. That's what they're building, and that's why they have to meet in secret, because they don't want anybody to know about it. And people like us know about it, but, you know, that's what's going on. And that's not a conspiracy theory. That's conspiracy fact, because these people are corrupt and don't give a shit about any of us. They will sell this world for enough gold. Just remember that. Or whatever, whatever wealth they can get their hands on.
Controlling the thinking, and that's we've come to a very dangerous point in America. When they start controlling the people's thinking, when they have figured out, and the ideologues and all of their think tanks have figured out a way to control thinking, we've got big problems in this country. And
well,
James
covered that.
Yes.
You know, he was talking about how they know how the human brain works. It's not something I'm sure that they haven't studied. You know, I'm sure they spend a lot of money into figuring out psychology and how we operate, and that's how they keep us where we are. That's why people sit in traffic all day.
Some of the most brilliant people in the world are behind this, and they still are. All one has to do is do a simple search for the Institute of Social Research. And you will find out more than you care to know, believe me. Dennis, is James still with us?
I'm still there. Yep.
Yeah, he's still alive.
James, I'd like to take this opportunity to introduce everyone to your website. I know you've written. I know of four books that you've written. Of course, the one we're discussing tonight, "Truth Is a Lonely Warrior," the one that I've read. You also have a book called The Shadows of Power, The Council on Foreign Relations, and the American Decline. You have another book called Tornado in a Junkyard, and another one called The Case Against Darwin, Why the Evidence Should Be Examined. And James, tell us about your website and how people can get your books, if you don't mind taking a few minutes and kind of let people know where they can go to do a little research about you.
Well, thanks very much for offering that. I have a website, just my name, jamesperloff.com, and it's P as in Peter, E-R-L-O-F-F, jamesperloff.com. And you can click on links to my books there. You can buy them on Amazon. The new one, Truth is Lonely Warrior, is available in Kindle and paperback. That's the one we've been chiefly been talking about tonight. And I also have a number of blog posts and links to articles I've written for other websites and magazines there about issues that might be of interest. So people can, yeah, go to my website, jamesperloff.com, and check out anything there that they might find relevant on a variety of topics.
Right on. And we appreciate what you do. I do have a very special caller that just told me he's on hold. So we're going to get him in here in a few minutes. But, James, if you could, man, I know you were talking earlier about the, you know, repeating yourself and the repetition of what we do. Does that ever really get to you or get all your nerves, just having to repeat yourself over and over again about the same thing?
Oh, no, because the because the message is so important. And actually saying something, the same thing over and again sometimes is easier than trying to think up a new way to say it. So,
That's
okay
true.
To repeat the truth, definitely. And, it's like a good Broadway, we're not actors, but a good Broadway actor will go out and give the same performance every night. We definitely want to reach people. And for us, it might be repetition, but somebody else, maybe it's the first time they've heard this.
Right, yeah. I mean, I look at it that way, too. I think a lot of times when I'm repeating myself, I forget things, so it's kind of good to refresh and be like, oh, I haven't talked about this in a while, so yeah. And then, yeah, I see what you're saying. It is important. But, you know, I guess everybody's different. But for me, sometimes it does. It gets a little bit frustrating, especially when people, you know, it's double-edged sword. Some people get it, some people don't. Some people take the ball and run with it. Some others continue to want you to explain everything to them, which is okay. I don't have a problem with that. But, you know, sometimes it does get frustrating. But like I said, we do have a very special caller. I know Lee Pierre will be happy about this. I believe we have Trip Pugh on the line. I'm going to bring him in here in a minute. But Trip does a radio show, Post Politics with Trip. And he's joined us, you know, a couple weeks in a row. We had Jack Blood on. He was with us. And Trip is always hanging out with us when he can. So if you guys don't mind, I want to get him in and see what he has to say tonight.
Sure,
that's all right with everybody.
Great.
All right. I believe this is him. We got Trip.
Yeah. Can you hear me well?
Yeah, we got you, man. How you doing tonight?
All right. Taking it easy. Actually, I'm doing the Vice thing tonight. One of my favorite shows, Trailer Park Boys, is season 8 out on Netflix.
So oh yeah.
I've been taking it easy on a Friday night without the kids and just.
Yeah, I watched the whole season already today.
Oh, well, don't say anything.
It's great.
I called the right show, man.
Right on.
It's great, I'll tell you that.
So what have you guys been getting into tonight? Sadly enough, I haven't been able to catch the whole show, but what all have you guys been getting into tonight?
Well,
we have a very special guest tonight,
author,
Trip.
James Perloff is on the line with us tonight, author of Truth is a Lonely Warrior and several other books out there. So we've been pretty much discussing just about every single topic that we possibly can, from the Federal Reserve to the media, music. We've been pretty much all over the place. The Council on Foreign Relations we touched on, which was the focus of James' first book, The Shadows of Power. So we've been pretty much all over the spectrum tonight, bud.
That's great.
To say the least.
And I rarely get to, you know, talk with those people nowadays. You know, I'm so caught up in what's going on with, you know, where I guess us as a movement or a people that are informed are actually headed. Because I almost hate to say this, but I'm really worn out on the info. You know, I've researched it long enough. I've got it down, and a lot of my stuff has been more geared towards, well, what do we do as people from here on out? Do we vote more?
Yeah, I feel you, man.
Government more obsolete in our life? I mean, what is it that we do? And it's important to note. I don't want to gear the conversation one way or another, but I guess I'm also interested in your guest take on what we do, because there's a lot of us out here and a lot of us that like a show like mine, a show like this. You know, there's enough of us out here doing this thing. However, if we don't sort of make these measures in our own life, are we kind of missing the boat there?
All right. Yeah, so what do you think, James, about that?
No, I was some static on the line. I couldn't get the entire question because one of you other guys repeated for me. I didn't fully get the question.
Oh, I got you.
I mean, I physically didn't hear it.
Yeah, he was just talking, Tripp was talking about, you know, obtaining the information is one thing, but what can we really, you know, what are we doing, you know, in this movement or whatever? It's kind of what he was saying, if I'm doing any justice to what you said, Tripp.
If we're not adhering to what we're speaking about in our own lives, if we're not adhering to what we're speaking about in our own lives, then are we really doing justice to the movement? I mean, really, what's next? We have the information. We're putting
information
it out there. What's next?
Well, I think that information is what precedes action, and I think that this is quite vital. What I'm hoping is that the kind of information we're giving out, because it's on the internet and anyone can access it, I'm hoping that people who work in military or police or government positions, security, and so forth, will start to wake up themselves, and that this may help this whole conspiracy against the American people and the people of the world to implode if enough people can wake up, because they depend on all these underlings who don't even realize that they're maybe working towards their own doom by supporting this system, this bankster system that has been a predator on the lives of the American people for so many decades, and taking away the power that is supposed to be vested in the people and usurping it for themselves and picking presidents from behind the scenes. And if enough people can be woken up, so I think it really begins right here with broadcasting the truth.
Right.
Well, amen to that. And exposing is critical. It's critical. And, you know, I study this. I'm probably one of the few people that are in our radio circuit that actually watch media, mainstream media. And the reason I do that is I want to know what their new tricks are. I want to know what the new conditioning process is. I want to know how they've modified their ideology. And I study them carefully for several reasons. And this denial phenomena is very interesting. When people actually deny the physical existence of material after viewing it, there is no doubt, in my opinion, exists an altered state in their rationing abilities. And I really want to expose this anomaly and the conditioning process that causes it and get it into mainstream somehow, some way. So I think we have to keep on exposing these people, because there's a huge problem out there. I mean, people literally can look at something, feel it, touch it, and deny it exists. That's how bad it's gotten out there.
Yeah, I mean, it's true.
I see it every day. I see it every day.
Yeah, to add what Tripp was saying, though, is, you know, I think the numbers battle is one of our adversaries in this, because, you know, we may get a certain amount of listeners every week, or we may get people, even on my Facebook, a certain amount of people that are in tune with what's going on. But, again, there's millions of people out there that really don't look into this, or they've been told by World Star Hip Hop that the Illuminati is crazy. You know, that's crazy talk.
Well, Dennis, I wanted to piggyback off of that because, you know, while all of these points are very, you know, well taken and everything, you know, there's a lot of us that have been doing this for a number of years, right? And I don't want to be just in the waking people up mode. Yes, there's people that have to come to terms, sadly enough, I'll just say it, and I know everybody wants to stay optimistic here. There are people that will only go further and further down the trail of madness and celebrity worship and whatever's going on for the time being, right? You know, there's going to be those last people. They're not going to turn back around, so quit kidding yourself, A. And B, I feel like a lot of us have been in this waking people up mode. And you know what? The people that are starting to come along, that's great. However, I think a lot of people are just stuck in that mode. And I guess my overall, you know, what I'm really striving for now, aside from what I do for media, is to make government as obsolete in their life, to take all of these measures, to be able to more so wake people up with my action more than my words, because we've all sat there with our friends, family members, and people that we come across day to day telling these stories and telling them why everything they know is wrong. And we've all done that. And really, being lectured like that hasn't done a lot. I feel starting to grow your own food, starting to, whether it's, you know, being a anti-vaccine advocate or you know, even showing up at your kids' PTA meetings. These are the types of actions that need to be taken in order to be, quote, the shining example, because you're still going to look like a loon to a lot of people out there talking, trying to play the wake everybody up game. You got to take personal action in a lot of this stuff.
Yeah, I agree. We talked about that earlier, you know. People, I couldn't tell you how many times I've been called conspiracy theorist or where's my tinfoil, and that's by family members. Not even people on social media. That's people I interact with every few days or every weekend. Like, oh, don't talk about that stuff. You're going to ruin our cookout. You know? Don't bring that up. We don't want to talk about that. We don't want to talk about how corrupt the government is. And don't let their cable go out. They'll lose their minds. You know? Cable goes out for a few days, people lose it. Like, oh, I don't know what to do.
Right. I mean, there's a lot of that. There's a lot of that that really needs to be, hey, guess what? We're using solar. We're using wind power, and we're making, you know, these corporations. You know, I know that this is a big left versus right, but I like to just throw it all in the big mixing pot and take a big bite out of it. But regardless of, you know, what side is of concern with this, is that, you know, we're starting to use alternate power to make the monopoly corporations of our utilities more obsolete. Great deal. We're starting to do these things, and I just really want to be a larger advocate of people that are wanting to actually take those necessary steps, not just call people out. We can call people out and our local politicians and our CFO members and you know, all of these people all day long, but I feel like it's kind of redundant if that's all we're doing now, because, you know, we've all beat our head against a wall trying to wake people up for years on end. And whether it's working or not, you know, stay the course, my friends, but make sure that you're making these adjustments in your life to make it applicable, what you're preaching, you know.
Yeah. Practice what you preach, if you will. Yeah. I know what you're saying. I mean, I practice multiple things that I advocate. You know, I'm very against, you know, I really don't like the GMO thing, so I try to avoid it. Multiple things. But either way, I think what I was talking about earlier plays into this, because when you describe what's really going on to people, because it is a big puzzle, it's probably a four-hour conversation to go over a lot of everything that's going on. But when you do that, whether it's social media or a family member or people you really care about, it's up to that person to go ahead and research the things. And if they take that knowledge and they don't tell anybody else about it until they're comfortable, that's on them. But for me, when I learned what was really going on, I really felt compelled to do something, because I feel like we're in dire times right now, and we are dealing with a 1984 society where everything is being stripped from us. And I don't think it's right, man. I don't think, you know, any of us should be living like that, let alone our future generations. You know, the kids that are coming up underneath us, you know, your kids, Tripp, or whoever, you know, has kids, they're going to be living in that world. And it's up to us to prevent it the best way we can. And if we can't prevent it, just let that knowledge be out there. But like I said, it's up to the person. Yeah, each individual has to take this information. And if it drives them to do something, because I'm sure, Tripp, at one point you were like, I got to get on the radio, you know, or I got to do something.
Right.
I got to do something. I got to use what I can to let my voice be heard. And we got to keep doing that. And it's up to the person. Like, it's not going to be everybody that you grew up with or your family that's going to start doing radio shows or being an activist. But we are chipping away. You know, we are making some kind of impact on the world. Even if, like you said, even if we don't, if we can't necessarily see it, I think it's vital what we do. And I think we have to keep doing it, even when we don't feel like doing it. You know, even like you were saying, it's just,
I think about that all the time. Yeah, everybody has, especially when you do media like we do, you know, and everything that goes along with how difficult anybody's day in and day out life is. You know, just think about what the average person goes through and realize that we have a bunch of pressure on top of that just doing what we do for no money, just because we love doing it and we want the information to be out there. But just to do that alone is just... You know, there's plenty of days you go, I don't know, man. I don't know how much longer I can do this, or I'm thinking about hanging it up, or whatever it might be. And it's a rough gig out there, man.
Yeah, it's rough. I mean, I'm sure it affects all of us. Even, you know, James, Ted, Lee, I'm sure everybody can relate with that. You know, some days it's just it's so much to take on, especially when you see news stories come out in the news media, like this whole ISIS thing where these, you know, how is it that you can go on a computer right now? Now, I don't want to talk about the ISIS thing too much, but how is it you can go onto a website and see people get their heads cut off by drug cartels, uncensored, mind you. You can watch that type of stuff if you're into that, but you can see that. But as soon as they want you to see what's going on with ISIS, they censor it and make this big spectacle out of it, and the government gets on television. It's like, yeah, that's really happening. Yeah, that's true. But, again, they censor it.
Unbelievable.
They don't want you to see the gore. They don't want you to see the gore. They don't want to see, you know, blood and guts. But that stuff's out there. You can see it. You know, you can see the drug cartels and things of gore.
You've got to look at it like this, man, especially when it pertains to these ISIS videos. I don't believe them. I'm sorry. My government has lied to me too many times. And not only that, they lied
to
my parents. They lied to my brothers, they lied to my sisters, my grandparents, my great-grandparents, you know, on down the line. And so in this, at my point in time, and to be perfectly honest, as myself, I do not believe a word they say. They could tell me that the sky was blue and I would have to go out and look.
That's a great point, and just to put in some historical context about that, you know, Truth of the Lonely Warrior, the first chapter of the book is about the wars we've gotten into since the Spanish-American. The Spanish-American War, they were telling the American people, because, you know, National City Bank wanted to get control of the Cuban sugar industry, we had to get rid of the government of Spain. So they were telling the people that the Spanish in Cuba were roasting priests, throwing Cubans to sharks, murdering hundreds of people in hospitals where no hospital existed. It was all false. World War One. They said that the German soldiers had cut the hands off thousands of children in Belgium, and after the war, I found out that had never happened. And you could take it up to the Gulf War of 91. They said that the Iraqis were throwing Kuwaiti babies out of incubators. And after a while, you start to wise up, and maybe some of these beheadings are true and some not. But, yeah, I'm with you guys that I just don't believe what we're being manipulated constantly. You know, I think a real moment of realization came for me when they claimed that they'd gotten Bin Laden, and it made no sense, since you wouldn't want to shoot Bin Laden. You'd want to get the guy alive. If he's the head of the world's largest terror network, you need to milk him for information. And then they said the next day they dumped his body in the ocean. And I said, they're photoshopping this stuff. This is... History and events are being photoshopped, and I really feel it's almost as if they have screenwriters who are creating these events in order to manipulate public opinion. But you're absolutely right when you talk about your grandparents. These atrocity stories, that are supposed to motivate us to hate and go to war. It's been going on for a long time. They're using the same mechanisms, a new atrocity story, but it's been going on for a long, long time to manipulate the American people into going to foreign wars.
Right.
Right.
Because that's what they want at the end of the day, right? But go ahead, Tripp.
Yeah. Oh, no, I was just going to say, and we had Dr. Steve Pachenik come out in 2003, it was during the time that Bin Laden was supposedly killed or whatever, and Dr. Steve Pachenik had come out and said that, that was late 2002, early 2003, when he died. The guy was on diet. We all know the story, right? Yeah. So, but he had come out and said, no, he died shortly thereafter, pretty much. And they've been keeping him on ice. And, this is a guy that has co-written Tom Clancy books to be politically accurate. And this is a real-life Jack Ryan, if you've ever watched Patriot Games or, any of these Tom Clancy books that have been made into movies. This was the guy, and came out and dispelled a lot of that stuff with just the wording that he had used was very hard to say that can't be true, right? So, and this is the guy that's obviously on the inside and had said, I've got too much stuff on other people. That's why they don't go after me.
Well, one of the latest, and I get a kick out of this one. There's 11 missing jumbo jets in Libya. So they say. But what I'd like to know is, first of all, how did these 11 missing jets disappear without somebody seeing them? I mean, these things are huge, and they fly, and there's tracking systems all over the world, but nobody seems to know. I mean, they act like somebody just come in and stuck these in a briefcase and walked away with them. We either have the worst foreign intelligence in the history of mankind, or they're lying, one of the two, and I'd like to know which it is.
They got that Malaysian plane disease. It's, where you can just disappear out of nowhere.
Yeah.
Well, here's a story today. Hey, guys, here's an interesting story today. We had one, a private flight that went off of its course, and I haven't followed up on the story. This is the last I heard of it. It was supposed to go from Rochester, New York, to Naples, Florida, down here. And it went by way of South Carolina and was headed in the Cuban region, the last I heard when I followed the story. And they had F-15s following them, by the way. Now, for some odd reason, in the 30 minutes that it takes to get from point A to point B, as soon as these 9/11 planes go off, of course, it was still 13 years ago. However, we can't get those going as well. No one can give us a clear-cut explanation for that. Yet we can have that happen before and after with planes intercepted that have gone off of their natural course. And that's what we're dealing with now. So really, if you can't intercept these things, if it doesn't become a news story in that way, that's when you start looking at false flags and who's pulling the strings and where's the money headed and what reason is this happening, et cetera, et cetera. All these things that we're interested in,
Right. Very true. But
you gotta pay attention.
Again, we're dealing with things.
You gotta pay attention to how they've manipulated you. I mean, even if you're like me and you just stopped listening to the mainstream media, because I was like Ted there for a while, to where I would listen to them and see what they were trying to get across and where they were trying to lie, so I could try and counteract that lie when I was doing my shows to begin with. And now it's become so predictable that I already, it's kind of like I don't have to watch it anymore. I can counteract that lie with a few simple minutes of research. It's real easy. They make it so simple, and they're simplistic in their formula as to how they're trying to spoon feed us this garbage. And yet, if you take just a few minutes out of your day to read up on it and actually investigate into what they're getting after, you know, you'll find out.
When you magnify on the individual, you got to understand that these global controllers are not. They don't do that. What is mass appeal? Any sort of behavior and product placement and all of these other issues that we have to deal with, they're not looking at individuals. They're not looking at people that know that there's something out there, whatever they want to call it, you know, that there's something greater out there that's, you know, a lot better than, you know, this little bubble that they want to place us all in. You know, there are places without borders. We are people, free-thinking individuals that draw outside of the lines, as it were. And they don't take these type of people into account. And more that everything gets all messed up and screwed around and upside down, you kind of think that even as Americans, I mean, this is what this country was built upon, that more Americans will be like, you know, this sooner or later, this doesn't look like the country that I remember my parents telling me that it was. No matter how old you are, you know, we're starting to see that more and more every day.
Right. And it's being amplified. It's shocking that most people don't see it, and to be honest. But, you know, we got about 5 minutes left here. Again, I want to thank James for joining us tonight, Ted Jody, Tripp for calling in. Of course, Lee Pierre, I think we do have another caller here that might want to get in the show, just stop by for a little bit. So I might take this caller before we get out of here tonight. So let's see what the caller has to say.
Well, hello, fellas. I wonder if these boys recognize this voice.
Well, I'll be dipped in buttermilk. Sheila Zielinski.
Hey, guys. Sheila Zielinski from the Weekend Vigilante Show. How are you guys?
Good,
I'm
good.
Still alive.
It's been too long, so I thought I would drop by and say a hello, and great program tonight. I got to hear the tail end of it after work, so good job.
Well, thank you very much.
And thank you for coming by and saying hi, Sheila. If you can, before we get off the phone with you tonight, please check out, I know how you like reading, so please check out James Perloff. Check out his books. You can go to his.com. Just like it sounds, please check him out and then let me know what you think, because I really enjoyed the book he sent me. Let me tell you.
Absolutely.
It's fresh.
Great writing. I've actually read a couple of articles on the blog, and really good stuff, definitely.
Excellent.
Well, Sheila, how you been?
That'll work.
I've been really good. I've been doing a Saturday night show, Combined Forces with Hagman and Hagman, for a weekend report, and the website is weekendvigilante.com. And, yeah, we've had some interesting guests for sure. And, yeah, it's never a dull moment. Never a dull moment because, you know, as you guys know, the headlines are just, you can't make this stuff up, and everything is flying at us fast and furious, and you cannot even keep up with what's going on. It's just absolutely mind-numbing, isn't it?
Oh, it sure is. It sure is. One more time here real quick, guys. We got just a little bit less than 3 minutes. James, I wanted to give you one more chance to get your website out there and how people can get in touch with your work and how they can get a hold of some of that.
Thanks. Yeah, again, it's jamesperloff.com. And I've got two books on shadow government, political history, and the newest one is Truth is a Lonely Warrior. The old one is The Shadows of Power that came out in 88. And between those two books, I wrote two on creation versus evolution and the evidence for design in our world. And what I'm doing politically is kind of the flip side, the evidence for evil in our world, that it's things are not just unfolding by chance. But people can contact me there. And Sheila, if you've got a show on, if you'd like me to appear as a guest, I'm always eager to connect with other hosts and share views. And this has been great tonight, interacting with, I think we got six people on now, right?
Yeah, we're
something like that. Yeah.
We get a good round table going on Fridays.
So this is our brain trust. They've got the best and the brightest there, and we've got our own.
Right. That's
there,
true.
There you go.
James, also, before we end tonight, you know, if you have a date coming up where you're free, I'd like to get you back on because we really didn't get into Zionism and the protocols of the learned elders of Zion. I'd like to talk to you about that in a future show and a few other things as well. You know, I know we did cover a lot, but in the next month or whenever you're able, I'll send you an email and we'll get you back on either this show or Ted's show, whatever's free, whatever you can do. But definitely, I want to talk to you some more.
Oh, great, because Dennis, you said that you and Lee were you both said that you're about to the sixth or seventh chapter. So, you guys could maybe finish the book when you have a chance, and then we could cover any topics, including those two that you mentioned, which are quite relevant. And, let's go at it, because there's a whole lot that people need to know. My eyes have been opened progressively, as I'm sure you guys are. You know, the day that 9/11 happened, I didn't know there was any conspiracy. And that's one reason, by the way, people should know we're not just whack jobs. We came to our conclusions by the facts, not because we had some kind of a priori idea that there was a conspiracy.
Right. Yeah.
We were definitely convinced by the evidence, you know.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, it's there.
Right.
So we're about to go into overtime, Lee.
We'll do a little bit of overtime. Yeah, we'll do a little bit of overtime here.
I know you had a rough day.
Yeah, it's been one of them long days. Fortunately, I was able to squeeze in 4 hours of Trailer Park Boys this morning before I got to doing all that other work. But that's all right, because every now and then you need a little bit of a break from the reality. Folks, the main point I wanted to get across to everybody tonight before we duck out of here is that the fight is never over. And, they've been attacking us on multifaceted angles for the last, nearly 100-some-odd years now. And we need to wake up and smell this coffee and realize that it's not getting better. Quality of life in this country is not improving. It's only going to devolve as opposed to evolve into something better and what we really want. The problem is we have a bunch of shadow people running our lives under color of law. Violation of the Constitution is at its utmost peak right now. This is the government that our founders wrote the founding documents for. Okay, they warned us about this, and we've allowed it to happen. Now it falls to us in this generation, even though the previous generations had been duped as well, but it falls to us now to be very important to continuing to educate our youth as to the tyranny we face and to stand up and expose it at every chance we get. If that's the only thing you do with your life, at least you're standing up, at least you're taking the fight to them, and at least you're trying to make a difference. History will reflect that, and
damn
not
right.
only that, but your children and grandchildren will too.
I agree. And real quick, before we continue, we still have James and I believe Tripp Pugh with us, but Sheila dropped out. I want to thank her for calling in tonight, stopping by and saying hi. You can check her out on weekendvigilante.com, I believe. She does shows all the time. And also, Ted dropped out, so I don't
tomorrow.
Think they're going to be joining us. Yeah, she has a show tomorrow. And Ted is not going to probably call in back. Yeah, he's not going to be able to join us in overtime. But Ted does a show here Wednesday night, Breaking the Oath Breakers on NWO Truth Radio. And definitely check that out because he always brings it on his show.
Yeah, we had a great
show
over there.
But, yeah.
Dennis and I were over hanging out with him. This past Wednesday, we had a great show going on. So,
as always. So, yeah, like tonight was a great show. I mean, we covered a lot of stuff, you know, a lot of people tuning in. Big show, man. Again, having James on and all the people that decided to call in and join us is an extra, you know, added treat to the show. And I really appreciate that, Tripp. I want to give you an opportunity before you have to get out of here where you can let people know where they can find you and check out your shows as well. If you want to, my brother.
Thanks, man. I always appreciate it. You guys do a great thing over here, and you know that's I believe in you guys the same way I hope you believe in me. So,
we do.
We've got a lot of great things going. If you haven't, go like the Journalistic Revolution YouTube page. You can get a lot of our videos and stuff there. I mean, it's everything. It's informative. It's funny. You know, like, we're trying to stay as informative and as funny as we possibly can. And we got great interviews, all that stuff. All our video content is there. Please go check that out and subscribe to the YouTube page for Journalistic Revolution. You can hear me every Wednesday and Sunday night at JRev Radio and RazRadioLive.com. You know, please just come check it out. We got all the Facebook pages, JRev Radio, Journalistic Revolution, the Post Politics Facebook page. Go like all that stuff. You know, you're helping us out by doing that. I know that there's a lot of people out there that are just doing their thing on their own terms and on their own time and aren't necessarily as glued in to everything as we are. But, you know, you do us all a great deal when you share a status, when you, you know, retweet something, when you do all this stuff. It helps out a lot. So I know you guys appreciate that, and I appreciate it too. And you guys keep up doing the good work. We've got Pork Fest, the documentary, and I'm sure Dennis and Lee will help me out by sharing that whenever it comes out. So let's see how I did that there.
There you go.
I'll make sure to hook you guys up with that ahead of time before we release it and all that good stuff. But if you want to know about what people are doing for modern day solutions, you're going to want to check out this documentary we did at Pork Fest over the summer. So we'll be putting
right
that
on
out in the next couple of weeks. Thanks,
we'll be looking
guys.
For that.
I really appreciate the time.
Hey, thanks.
Yeah, thank you,
thanks
Tripp.
For joining us, Tripp.
We appreciate it.
All right. Later.
Yep. Ladies and gentlemen, that was Tripp Pugh from Post Politics. That's the show he does. And always a great guest. Hopefully he can join us in future weeks on the Friday Night Super Show. But, again, tonight's show, James, I want to let you know, man, I didn't want to get away from, you know, discussing the book and going over stuff with you. But in the second hour, we do kind of take callers and, you know, show may be shifted a little bit, but I definitely want to get you back on. We'll work that out, you know. Like I said,
let's definitely do that. And, yeah, I appreciate that. And it was great having other people come on and hearing about what they're doing because we're all part of the same team, really. We got the same objectives in mind. Actually, we have the same enemies, really, that have put us into a common cause here. So it's great working with you guys. And I love having these other folks call in. I'd never not familiar with Tripp or Sheila before tonight, so I'm glad that got to hear them and learn a little bit about them.
Well that's what it's all about, really.
And thanks a lot, James, for taking the time to be a part of the show, and we look forward to coming back. Boys, I'm pooped. Been up since 4 o'clock this morning, and I got to get back up tomorrow. And apparently, this wedding is like the first one I've ever been to where the best man has to actually show up and help do work beforehand. So, go figure. I don't know how I got roped into that, but that's
well. You must be a reliable guy, you know. They figured, hey, he'll do this and he'll do that, you know.
Yeah, I wasn't planning on working tomorrow, but I guess I'm going to. You know, either way, as long as there's free food, I'm happy, you know, and my buddy's getting married, so he's happy. That's all I'm worried about.
Yeah, it'll be a good time, you know, for sure.
But
definitely, Lee Pierce will be there.
Well, you know, they tried to pump me full of liquor before I came in here tonight, and I said, no, I've got a show tonight. I'm not getting messed up before the show. Oh, well, you're drinking with us tomorrow. I'm like, oh, great. You know, I don't want to drink. I'm just like, okay, well, we'll go and have a good time then, I guess, and I'll see how much water they let me get away with before somebody gets drunk enough to start shoving it under my nose, and then it'll probably be about time to head home. So I'm tired.
That'll work.
I'm getting too old. I got grandkids and kids and everything else that I gotta
Take care. So, but thanks, everybody, for joining us tonight, all our callers over here on Truth Emerges Radio, everyone over at NWO Truth Radio, and most importantly, James Perloff. Thank you so much for being a part of this. We look forward to having you back. Dennis, guys, for everybody here on this end at Truth Emerges, I'm the Mouth, guys. Great show, and I'm out.